I'd like to read from the Old Testament, from the book of Esther, page 646. Esther chapter 6. Esther chapter 6 and verse 6. So Haman came in, and the king said to him, "What is to be done with the man whom the king delights to honor?" Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27, page 1188. Matthew 27 and verse 26. Then he released to them Barabbas. But Jesus, having scourged him, he delivered up that he might be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor, having taken Jesus with them to the praetorium, gathered against him the whole band, and having taken off his garment, put on him a scarlet cloak, and having woven a crown out of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and bowing the knee before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And having spit upon him, they took the reed and beat him on his head. And when they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify. One scripture more in the Epistle to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. Wherefore also God highly exalted him and granted him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. During the reign of the last king in this country, King George VI, it was arranged that he pay an official visit to the great continent of South Africa. Took with him the Queen and his two daughters, one of whom is our present Queen, sailed on HMS Vanguard. Great excitement was there in Cape Town as the ship drew near. Thousands had come out to welcome the royal party. All police leave was cancelled in order that a check might be kept on the crowds and to ensure the security of the royal party. As the ship docked, a gangway was lowered from the ship to facilitate the landing of the party. There was a cordon of police in front of the crowds, and right opposite the gangway was a member of the police force, a tall African police sergeant, Sergeant Visor. And just before the royal party descended the gangway, as all eyes were focused on them, suddenly a young voice whispered into the ear of Sergeant Visor, "What would you do if this was the King of Kings?" He was not only perplexed, he was more than a little annoyed, but what could he do? Protocol demanded that all attention was on the royal party. As the royal party began to descend the gangway, back came the voice again. "What would you do if this was the King of Kings? He's coming soon." He was quite furious by this time. Out of the corner of his mouth he replied, "Like all others, I would simply run." Oh, came back the voice, "I wouldn't run. I would be one of the honored guests, because the King of Kings is my Savior. He could be yours as well." quite angry, but this time he was determined that once the party had passed by, he would take it out on this woman. He would sort her out. Party came ashore and were welcomed by dignitaries, and then he turned to find the woman. But she disappeared into the crowd. Quite angry, he returned to the police barracks, being the end of his shift, and went to the canteen and asked for a drink. And as he lifted that glass, it was as if that voice whispered again in his ear, "What would you do if that had been the King of Kings?" Setting off home, he returned to his own house, entered his house, and there he found his wife on her knees, beseeching God to save her husband. This tall African sergeant listened and quietly knelt down beside her. And that day, the King of Kings entered into his heart and into his life. And he accepted the Lord Jesus as his personal Savior. He was the first Christian policeman in that barracks. But he was the means of others coming to know the Savior as well. By accepting the Lord Jesus into his heart, he paid honor to the man whom the King delights to honor. What have you done, dear friend, to honor the man that God wants you to honor? If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are paying tribute to the man whom God is going to see that everyone pays honor to. God is, as our last scripture shows, he is going to ensure that every person in this world pays honor to his Son, to Christ. Thank God if you already have opened that heart of yours and paid honor to him. It's a simple matter. You simply believe in your heart. You put your trust in him. You ask him to become your Savior and friend. He needs no more invitation than that. And into that life of yours, he will come. And he will ensure your salvation for time and for eternity. You know, honors lists comes out in this country, and there are many names on that honor list, names from all walks and fields of life. Many of these are worthy of honor. Some have achieved great things through bravery. Some have achieved things through science, through medicine, through sport, through many other things. There's one name I've never seen on that list. Can you tell me what name that is? The name of Jesus is not on this world's honors list at all. I've read from Matthew's Gospel to tell you that you can read for yourself what kind of honor this world paid to my Savior, to the Lord Jesus. He came into this world, God come here in manhood's form in order to meet the sinner's need. And we're all sinners before God. And he came near to us. Just like the story that we've often heard, you know, the man who was feeding the birds, and every time he approached the birds, they flew away. until he decided the only way that he could get near these birds was if he became one himself. That was impossible. And the only way that God could get near to the sinner was if he became a man himself and became that man in the form of Jesus in order to meet the need of your heart and the need of mine. And tonight, that blessed man who did so much good in this world, God is offering him as a friend and savior to the sinner. What did he do here? In his public service, he went about, Scripture tells me, doing good. He met the leper. That leper who had to stay at a distance and cry, unclean, unclean. The Lord Jesus touched the leper and the leprosy had to go. To the cry of the blind, did he turn the deaf ear? No. What can I do for you, he says, that I may see? And sight was given to the blind, to the deaf. He took the deaf man apart, put his fingers in his ears, spoke to him. The man was given his hearing back. He even raised the dead. There's no one like my Savior. There's no one like the Lord Jesus. And at the end of that life, was he accorded honors by this world? Was he given a place of supremacy and honor? No. He was given a cross. Given a cross. We read of him here. Pilate's judgment hall. What a scene. You know, at a physical level, Jesus, no food or drink had passed his lips since he sat down at that Passover meal with his disciples. Just think of that. And then followed the mystery of the agony that he endured in Gethsemane, evidenced in the sweat falling as great drops of blood to the earth. Then he was bound and taken to the house of Annas the high priest and cruelly buffeted by soldiers. This is the man who brought healing to those who needed it. Then he was taken to the palace of Caiaphas, where the buffeting and cruelty continued. Then he was taken to the praetorium and arraigned before the governor Pilate, the man who was going to be his judge. One day Pilate will stand before the Lord Jesus and the judge's position will be completely changed. Pilate tried his best humanly to deliver him free. He sent him to Herod. This all happened in the concentrated hours before the judges of this world. To Herod he went. To Herod he never opened his mouth. The one man in the Gospels who wanted to hear the voice of Christ. He had heard the voice of John the Baptist. He had refused his testimony. The Lord Jesus earlier had said, go tell that fox, and so on. Herod, delighted to have him sent to him by Pilate. And to Herod he opened not his mouth. History tells us that but a few weeks later, that same Herod was killed. His last opportunity gone. Back to Pilate, the Lord Jesus. And Pilate, three times, he proclaimed that he found no fault in this person. But finally, he delivers him up that he might be crucified. It was the custom, you know, for the crowds to be offered or to claim a prisoner. It says that, doesn't it? Let me get it. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release one prisoner to the crowd whom they would. They could beg for a prisoner. Things were slightly different. Pilate didn't allow them that. I want you to notice this detail. Pilate so wanted to release the Lord Jesus that he suggested Barabbas to be released or Christ to be released. Now Barabbas, a robber, a murderer, the leader of an insurrection, a rebel, blood in his hands. Just think of it. Over against that, the Lord Jesus, who did no violence, who went about doing good. Can you get into Pilate's mind thinking, the crowd are bound to choose the Lord Jesus? What was the cry? Away with this man. Give us Barabbas. Let him be crucified. And he delivered up that he might be crucified. What a solemn moment. Someone who deserved the highest honors that could be accorded him, the man whom the king delights to honor, scourged and delivered up that he might be crucified. I can't add to the words that I've read in Matthew 27. Soldiers taking him, cruel soldiers, the whole band, take off his garment, put on a scarlet cloak. All this is done in mockery. Wove a crown of thorns, put it on his head, reed in his hand. All this was pain, pain, pain. Mocking him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." When they had mocked him, they took the cloak off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify. I tell you, dear friend, the man who should have been honored above all others, this world gave him a cross and gave him a grave. Was that all? Was God's answer in the exaltation of Christ based on the mockery and spitting and cruelty that men heaped on Jesus? Was that why God exalted him? No, there was more. Find him crucified these 3 hours, still facing the mockery and tauntings of the crowd. And then there's the 3 hours of darkness. Ah, much, much more. These 3 hours of darkness. What happened then? Ah, what happened then? Meant or means that the work that was accomplished during these 3 hours gives God, a Savior God, a basis to come out and offer a well of mercy that can be drunk, as we've sung in our hymn, mercy that can be drunk freely, forgiveness that can be accepted freely on the basis of the finished work of these 3 hours. Darkness covered the land. What a scene. Silence during these hours. Suffering during these hours. Sin during these hours. Made sin. My precious Savior was made the articles of sin. Him who knew not sin, he has made sin that we might become God's righteousness in him. Why was Sergeant Visor able to accept the Lord Jesus as his Savior? Because the Savior bore his sins during these 3 hours on the cross. And everyone here who's found the Savior can point to him there and see of him who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Little wonder that the man whom this world has dishonored, the man whom this world gave but a cross on the grave, God has honored with the highest exaltation of all. Not only that, he said when he was here, the Father judges no one. He has given all judgment into the hands of the Son. Why? That all may honor the Son. Judgment in the hands of the Son. But today, dear friends, the administration of the grace of God is in these same hands, the hands of Christ. And the grace of God is towards you and me tonight, towards every man tonight, and it's flowing from the hands of Christ. Are you going to accept the offer of mercy? Are you going to accept the offer of forgiveness? You, a guilty sinner before God, you, by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus, can honor the Son, can give him honor in the light of the fact that he suffered and died at Calvary's cross for you. Wherefore also, God has highly exalted him. What a statement. Paul never writes a gospel, but in these few verses, in chapter 2 of Philippians, Paul condenses the story of the gospel. He tells us the story of love's journey from Godhead's highest glory down to this earth in Jesus, who emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of man, but more, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death. And that, the death of the cross. Paul doesn't tell the story from the standpoint of what men did. That is a sad picture. Paul tells the story of the willing, voluntary movements of Jesus from the heights of glory to the depths of death, obedient unto death, and that, the death of the cross. When Peter tells us about the exaltation of Christ, he gives us it as an answer to what men did to him. This Jesus, whom ye have crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. But no, Paul gives the exaltation of Christ from the standpoint of God's appreciation of the worthiness of that Blessed One. He's the worthy one. Have you crowned him in your heart as the worthy one? Wherefore also God highly exalted him, granted him a name, that which is above every name. Take every name from the beginning of time up until now. There's a name that shines above them all. But dear friend, that name is only meaningful to you if it's written in your heart, the name of Jesus. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. God is going to see that Jesus is honored by every person in this world. The day of his public vindication will soon be, but dear friend, you can vindicate him by opening your heart afresh, bowing the knee afresh, opening your mouth and giving expression to this confession that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. What shall be done to the man whom the King delights to honor? I leave that with you. What have you done with Jesus? Pilate asked the question, what then shall I do with Jesus who's called the Christ? What have you done with him? Have you honored him? I said yesterday, if all the honor is simply to pay lip service to him on a Lord's Day, that's not honor. Your whole life should be a Christ-honoring life as you appreciate what he has done for you by suffering and dying for you at Calvary's cross. Oh, may you be amongst those who honor God's Son, and may God bless the world.